After Dorothy Wickedon and I settle into comfy chairs here at the cafe at the Tattered Covers downtown Denver bookstore, I ask her to bring me back to that moment when she discovered the letters her grandmother had written stashed away in a manila folder given to Dorothy by her mother 20 years back.
And I started reading the first letter, and it said it was on the stationery of the Hayden Inn, which said the only first-class hotel in Hayden. And it started out, "My dearest family, I can't believe I'm far out here in Colorado." And I was immediately drawn back to the stories that she told my brothers and me when we were little children about this extraordinary year she spent in the West. I sat down, read all 25 letters, and as a middle-aged editor, I was suddenly looking at my grandmother as a 29-year-old young woman who was finally setting out on her own, and they were full of this excitement and wit and vibrancy, all of which I sort of remembered from her even as a white-haired little old woman. And yet there she was as a young girl, and as an editor I started reading them and just thinking, this is an extraordinary story. And it's not just a story about my grandmother. It's not just a family story. It's a story about America, and it's a different kind of Western. And that's when I decided I had to write about this.
What emerges in your writing is a window into a part of the country's history, a part of the West's history at a time when things were changing very dramatically.
They'd grown up in Auburn, New York, a very wealthy city in central New York State. And they had been brought up as young Victorians, but now they were in the progressive era, and they were progressives, and they believed in, you know, a very non-stratified society. This is why the idea of teaching young children, the children of homesteaders, was a very sort of inspiring thought to them, far more exciting to them than settling down into marriage and motherhood right away. So they wanted to play their part in this moment in history, and they had heard about the West, and the man who was about to hire them had said, this is the last opportunity to explore the unfenced West. And they had read a little bit about it in several books, and they thought, we have to do this. This is a moment to do it. We'll never get this chance again. And almost on an impulse, they applied for these jobs, and they got them.
You have a passage picked out, which exemplifies what your grandmother and her friend were experiencing, and I wondered if you might read some of that.
Absolutely. So this is right after they had, it was the morning after they had gotten off the train, and they had traveled for 5 days by train, and they had arrived in Hayden in the middle of the night on a little tiny train that had taken them across the Continental Divide, and they were just coming down to breakfast. And what they didn't know when they had been hired was that part of the reason that they were being hired and brought out all the way out to Colorado was because the cowboys were lonely and looking for brides. So here's the morning after they arrive in Hayden, this tiny town, frontier post, basically, of 400 people. On the morning after their arrival in Hayden, Dorothy and Roz woke up early. They would be leaving in several hours for Elkhead in the mountain range that abutted the Yampa Valley. And as Dorothy recalled, we could hardly wait to see what was in store for us. When they walked into the dining room, half a dozen cowboys were seated at a large round table. And then my grandmother told us, of course nobody got up or anything. They simply stared at us. As they sat down, the man next to her said, "Good morning, ma'am." He was wearing a boiled white shirt with no collar and a diamond stud in the neckband. The table was covered with hot cereals and biscuits and jams and coffee, and she and Roz ordered eggs once over in the most approved manner. Then, as she put it, started a great procession of right and left as the men passed the food around so persistently that it was hard to eat. The women tried to make conversation, but then my grandmother said, all we got out from anybody was, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, or I wouldn't know, ma'am. And when they handed a dish to a neighbor, he would say, I wouldn't wish to care for any, thank you, ma'am.
I think it's maybe hard for some of us to appreciate now in this modern era just how big of a deal that was back then.
Now that I've seen all the letters and I know so much about their past, it really was an extraordinary thing for them to do. But what you get a sense of when you read both sets of letters is this sense of cutting loose. They were still living with their parents at the age of 29. This was the adventure of a lifetime. And they, even though it was incredibly difficult what they were doing, and it was very very Spartan. They loved it all. And so the letters convey this sense of enthusiasm and buoyancy. And I've heard from many women in particular who have read the book who just identified with this sense of going out on their own and doing something totally unexpected and something that wasn't sanctioned by society.
I've been speaking with Dorothy Wickenden, who's the executive editor of The New Yorker and the author of Nothing Daunted, The Unexpected Education of Two Society Girls in the West, about her grandmother. Dorothy, it's been a pleasure meeting you here at The Tattered Cover.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.